Johnson's kind of quirked up. I like him in the pocket. He reminds me of a certain quarterback named Adrian Martinez at times. I mean, he's mobile.
Shut up. You weren't even, he was playing yesterday. You didn't even watch him. You're so fake.
And now back to your regular programming.
If you speak better to yourself.
You showed up for like probably the dumbest conversation we've ever had on this show.
Let's have that smile again.
Tell me how that happens. Physically should not happen.
Relax.
If you say,
give me as well.
3 times a day. God will light it up.
He's just an absolute hack. And he gets his ass kicked by the teammates every week. It's just terrible.
Welcome back to Hack City. Joe DeLeon, Sean Anderson. Today, we are going to be talking about breakout players for 2024 in college football. Guys that we think are going to have huge seasons and be some of the best players in the country for college football. We're also going to get to some other ancillary off topics as usual. That coming up later today. Sean, I don't know about you. Same thing as last weekend for betting on Bet Online. I went 50-50. I went 50-50 again. I split it down the middle. Tennessee kind of screwed me. I took a money line. I got too excited. NC State made me some money against Duke. But how did you come away this weekend?
Yeah, thanks, Squeaky. I did about the same. Little internet.
Little screw off.
Won some bets, lost some bets. And for me, this March Madness, I've just been letting it ride at Bet Online. If I win a bet, I want to just let that thing ride into another bet. And that's where I'm doing it. I'm doing it at Bet Online. You know that. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information. We're about to hit the Final Four of the men's tournament. Women's tournament's still getting going. I had a buddy in my life, literally last night, hit an $800 MLB parlay. And it was a Trey Turner. It was 25 to win like 800. It was nuts. He just stood up and yelled, "Trey Turner!"
What were the legs? Wait. What were the legs?
I don't know the legs.
Oh, your buddy hits a parlay like that. You got to tweet that out from the Hack City account.
Other people are already starting to try to steal parlays. Hit. There's a gambling a podcast that another friend does that begs for them. I know. Trust me. It's all fake. Wait. Everybody, not to break kayfabe, but it's all fake.
Wait. This is the most distracted read possible because I have ADHD. You have a friend who's doing a gambling podcast? Who is this?
Like a friend of a friend of a friend that's doing a gambling podcast.
Is and they started successful? It.
I don't know. It's still a little early to tell. Head to Bet Online today and get in on all the action. I'm trying to be supportive. We're not getting it going on this. No. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus and your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here.
I need to write that down in the podcast ideas that I forgot. I keep forgetting about this. I keep completely forgetting that one of our original initial ideas was to do Jocktober, but for sports podcasts, because there is there's so much garbage out there for sports podcasts. There's so many just terrible, terrible podcasts. It's even easier to do, which people that don't know what Jocktober was, it was Opie and Anthony where they used to pull up clips from local radio stations and just the hackiest, most terrible people that were just so uninteresting and unfunny, and they would make fun of them. We gotta do that. We need to do that.
So the first show that you want to attack is someone that I know and that I probably see maybe 2 times a year.
He gets free promo. He gets free promo. I think he'd be happy that he gets the free pub.
I'll tell you about this operation that they got going on over there, and they don't need the free promo, all right? After the show, I'll give you a little intel. But also, if you want to get it going, hey, listeners, if you want us to give some analysis on your favorite show or any shows that you know or like, send them on over. If we want to get this thing cranked up, send us a show that you either like or you don't like. Maybe we'll pull some clips. Maybe we'll discuss it. I think that could be a fun experiment for the program. And as always, if we're trying to do this, our doors will all also be open. Feel free to go through the episodes. All right. If we're doing that's the fairness of it. If they get mad, then they can go through our shit. And there's a lot of shit in that shit. Bet Online. That's the read. All right.
The game starts here. The longest Bet Online read ever. Here,
bet some games.
So today, as I mentioned earlier, we are going to pitch 2 FBS guys each that we think are going to have huge breakout seasons, as well as 1 FCS guy. We always have to find the FCS tie-in during the offseason whenever we possibly can. Sean, I'm going to start us off here. I need you to not, when I say this guy's name, be on your bullshit, and you're going to know what I mean in a second. I really think that with the new wave of the Big 12, that Avery Johnson, who was so electric in the Pop-Tart Bowl, who was so electric in the times that they called on him, the new starting quarterback for Kansas State, I truly believe that he is going to have a huge, huge season this year. I'm not saying that he's going to go on to win the Heisman. I don't think that that is realistic, and I'm not going to put that on his shoulders. But I think he finishes the year as a top three quarterback in the Big 12, and we're going to be talking about him the following season as a true junior, as a draft prospect, because he's a great athlete. We saw some improvements on his decision-making, and I just love guys that when they're asked to and called upon to step up to the plate, that they take over games. So my first pick here, Avery Johnson for Kansas State. I swear to God, if the word or the phrase, the name Adrian Martinez comes out of your goddamn mouth, I'm going to get so mad at you.
They have no affiliation.
Good.
Avery Johnson went to Mays High School in Mays, Kansas. Mays is a form of corn, correct?
Is it spelled M-A-Z-E?
M-A-I-Z-E.
Is Mays?
Jeez. I mean, put a hat on a hat, why don't you, Kansas? Regardless, Johnson's kind of quirked up. I like him in the pocket. He reminds me of a certain quarterback named Adrian Martinez at times. I mean, he's mobile.
Shut up! You weren't even... He was playing yesterday. You didn't even watch him. You're so fake. You don't even like the guy. Hop off of him, okay?
He's March Madness.
Stop naming him. It doesn't matter, man. He is the starting quarterback in the UFL. He took over for Matt Corral. He's on the Stallions. You didn't even know that.
I know Corral got benched.
Yeah, until I told you.
No.
Go ahead, continue.
I know he got benched. I was just saying, I think it's a fine selection. I also think a Big 12 quarterback, every year there's going to be somebody that makes you go, oh, okay. And that's what he could be. That's what Avery could be this season for Kansas State. And I like Kansas State. Why wouldn't I like Kansas State? They're fine. Their helmet stinks. Their logo stinks. But they're a good team. They play hard. They're fun. They're competitive. They actually look like they're out there and they want to play football. I like Kansas State. I'm cool with it. It all started with a certain person, but we don't have to bring him up again. I'll go right to my first player here. And this is going to seem a bit hypocritical, but you know, Joe, I got a soft spot for athletes to go to Oregon and that actually go to Oregon afterwards. So Dylan Gabriel, welcome right up to the stand. Fringe guy last year for me. Fringe guy. Up and down. He had some good games. He had some games where Joe was yelling at me in your face. And then, you know, he pulled a bit of a Dylan Gabriel and I put it back in Joe's face. But when a quarterback goes to Oregon, I get inspired. There's something about the colors. There's something about Dan Lanning staying. There is a formula here where I think it works. I think Dylan Gabriel, before going to Dylan Gabriel before going to Oregon, better than Bo Nix before he went to Oregon. I like that. He's going to spend less time there.
That's a good way to phrase that.
It's the best way I can phrase it. So, yeah, go ahead. Unlock him. Unlock him. I saw Bo Nix unlocked. I had Joe yell at me for 5 months last year about this guy. Go to Eugene. Get unlocked, Dylan Gabriel. I'm excited to see it, and I think it will happen.
I like this pick. I don't know if I'd, in the truest sense of like feeling like he's like a break. I like Dylan Gabriel in his situation. I just necessarily wouldn't have picked him because I almost thought of him as like a foregone conclusion to have a really good year. But you bring up some good points with him. Will Stein is a tremendous offensive coordinator. He steps into a situation and an opportunity for him to take over an offense that's really not losing that much. Bucky Irving's gone. Bo Nix is gone. Troy Franklin's gone. But they're returning some of those tertiary, secondary receivers that they had that were really productive. And the whole damn offensive line's coming back outside of Jackson Powers Johnson. Both tackles are coming back. I really like this idea with Dylan Gabriel too. Go as far as to say he will be in the Heisman conversation. Like, I think that that's completely justified to say.
Why not?
Right. Put him in the Heisman conversation. It is not overly hot takey to say that because he's going to an established good football program.
I think it's the right play. And I'm also sucker for a redemption arc. Same thing with Jimbo. I might not like them at their first or second stop. Let me get a little breather. Let's get a new destination. I'm all in again.
Speaking of Jimbo and Texas A&M, my second guy is Nick Scowerton, who is an edge rusher who came through the transfer portal and I've brought up on this show before. I think that in a year where we're going to have a lot of quality edge rushers in the 2025 NFL draft, James Pierce Jr. is a guy who I've, you know, has been on my radar and I think is already building some momentum as maybe being that first overall pick the following year. But Nick Scowerton was at Purdue, a bad football team, and a tremendously explosive defensive lineman who is physical beyond physical. He has all of the intangible and tangible traits that you look for in a productive edge rusher. He gets to go to Texas A&M, which there are a lot of question marks for Texas A&M. I have been a big supporter of them. I, on Rufino and Joe, said I thought that they were going to win 9 games, and for some reason Texas A&M fans thought that that wasn't aggressive enough. I digress. Defensively, I think that Texas A&M, with some of the pieces that they added, it's going to be one of the best defensive units in the country in 2024. And the leading guy and the guy that we're going to keep bringing up over and over again for one of the best defenses is going to be Nick Scowerton. He is just so freaking fun to watch.
I'm excited to I know you're big on this guy. You brought him up when we were discussing Elko last show. If you're this high on him, I think that I'll start really taking some note, maybe watching some film, diving in. I'll go with more of a traditional breakout guy here for you, Joe. How about Nicholas Harbor, South Carolina? Freak wide receiver. Last year was his first year. Didn't do much. Runs track at South Carolina.
Are you trolling?
No, I'm not trolling. Why would I be trolling?
Because I don't get along with South Carolina fans.
Okay.
Go ahead, continue.
I'm talking about Nick Harbor.
Okay, go ahead, continue.
This 6'5 mega athlete that was transported here from Neptune. Okay? This is who I'm talking about. He's so fast. He can jump so high. And all we need is to see him get the ball in his hands. That's all we need to see. I have such tremendous amount of... This is my... Oh, God. This is my Al Davis, Darius Hayward Bay situation. I'm going all in. I will go all in, okay? And nobody could prove me otherwise or sell me on somebody else. No. Wide receiver this year, I'm banking it. I don't care who else is returning. I don't. This is the guy I'm watching. I want to see how he grows from year one to year two. I think it will be a big year two, and teams will be on notice. He just needs to become a bit of a better football player to compensate for his insane athleticism. Once that happens, I think all of college football is on notice. Very high on him. Not trying to troll you due to the South Carolina relationship that you do have, and maybe we'll keep this response from you rather succinct.
Look, okay, all I will say, Nicholas Harbor is extremely rare gifted athlete. So I don't disagree with this. If there is a guy, I mean, it's an easy answer. Who do you think is gonna break
screw
out?
That's an easy answer.
Let's go with the guy who is a freakish athlete and a top rated recruit. Now, I'm not knocking you for picking an easy answer. I am just saying it makes sense. He belongs in the conversation for guys that we're talking about. If he has an explosive year, I could totally see it.
I'm glad we agree, and we agree that South Carolina has a great coach and a great program and a great culture, and they're on the rise.
I didn't say that.
Anderson and Joe DeLeon.
Those words did not come out of my mouth. They had a really great transfer portal haul, just a bunch of random dudes that they added. All right, let's move on to. Transfer portal rankings are insane. I look at them like every other day when I'm doing notes.
Yeah.
And they're ranked so high, and it's like...
Well, then they can't just be just dudes. You know, there's got to be some real players there.
No, because
they bring in the players, and they get the wins.
It's one of those circumstances, and it's just like Colorado, where if you have more guys than the other teams, you're going to end up being higher than everybody else. So that's why they're that high. Of course, I managed to find a way to take a shot at them. My FCS guy. This is a lazy answer. I'm just gonna say it. It is a very lazy answer. Eli Gilman from Montana was the Jerry Rice Award recipient this past year. We know how important it is for Montana to have a good running back. And when he emerged, I think it was really tangible how hard it was to keep up with Montana's offense. I know that he was already ridiculously productive last year, but like I can see Gilman getting more touches, more carries, and then eventually becoming the leading rusher in FCS football. It's just such an easy pick when we're talking about a guy, a young player that fits the description of young and then takes a huge step forward and becomes even better. I mean, there's no reason why this guy can't be a 1,500-yard rusher next year.
Yeah, he was a massive reason why the Grizz went so far last year. Some people think he is the reason. He's a dynamic running back. He's fun. He's powerful. And it's so FCS running backs are sometimes very hard to track. They get hot early, then they get figured out. I'm hoping he doesn't get figured out. Like Marcus Knight kind of got figured out when he was playing. And then that changed. But Gilman's got some boost. He plays with a really good attitude. I think that's a good pick. I'm not even going to say it's safe. I think going with a running back is way less safe than my cowardly quarterback selection for Cole Gonzalez. That I might be capitulating to the mob, Joe, but I'm not going to deny the facts that he had a tremendous season last year with a team that was pretty irrelevant to us for the last 5 years until this season, when he started going crazy. 65% completion percentage, 2,800 yards, 28 touchdowns, yada, yada, yada. Fat stat, fat stat, fat stat. He's a good quarterback. And maybe there was some pride that was, you know, that was keeping out some of these compliments last October due to some errant Twitter fingers. But now that we're in the off season again, I can get a little comfortable slipping right back into that nice bath of unbiased takes. And I think Cole Gonzalez is going to have a really good year this year. I'm excited.
Did you double check that he didn't transfer, by the way, before? Or no, he's still in the roster. By the way, something that didn't get a lot of run. Something that didn't get a lot of run. Desmond Reed is at Pitt now. Good for Desmond Reed.
Pitt gets good running backs, man. They get good running backs. I like the Pitt running backs.
Yeah, that's a good landing spot for a running back. I mean, like I think of the production that Izzy Abakinda had 2 years ago.
He had a couple touchdowns for the Jets, right? This year?
Yeah, Izzy Abakinda is a great player. I'm happy for Des Reed.
Who's 24? Pitt had another really good running back at it. Hammond Jr. Come on. Let the brain Connor work.
Is the easiest, most recent one. And then LeSean McCoy, we could go as far back as Tony Dorsett. I mean, like, there's such a lineage of good running backs.
God, Rodney Hammond Jr. Oh, I was so close. He's a very good running back. No, come on. I got Hammond.
He'll be coached by former Rhody Ram, Pat Narduzzi.
Oh.
Did you know that?
That Narduzzi was a Rhody Ram? Yeah, he coached Gresh. Okay.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I never knew that part.
Get your dick in the dirt, Gresh. You don't remember that?
No, I don't remember that
at all. Maybe that was the O-line coach. Yeah, Narduzzi was at Rhody. He was
well, I knew that. I was kind of hoping you'd say, wait, he was, because then I could have gotten.
Why wouldn't I know
that? Well, I was going to point out that there was literally a plaque right next to your locker that had Pat Narduzzi's name on it. And I was really hoping that you didn't know that.
No, I knew that. Here's the thing about you and me. You're not going to get me in a gotcha moment. I'm not going to sit here.
Bullshit. That happens. I get you all the time. No.
Hey, do you think Gonzalez transferred? I checked. You're not going to get me.
That was not intended to be a gotcha moment. The Narduzzi thing was intended to be a gotcha moment.
You know what? I think the first one might have been a subliminal. Let's see if we can get Sean.
That was not the case. Sean, before we get to your social situation that you are going to share with us in order to get my opinion, I want to talk about the clip that immediately after Purdue won their game against Tennessee. They're moving on to the Final Four. They will face NC State. DJ Burns, excited to watch him. Already had a Purdue fan comment, suck my dick on my post about DJ Burns.
Oh, very good. You go ahead, stay classy, Boilermakers.
I think he's also like a media person that commented that.
Fucking loser. Shut up.
Yeah, that was, I was, I don't know. I don't know if anyone called me looking at my phone. I was like, this guy really commented this. Yeah. He's Learfield Audio White Sox podcast for, I don't know. I was just very thrown off.
Oh God, he's a board op. Hold on. Let me see this. Let me see this.
Yeah. He might be a board op. Edie, that's though, what I always video. Put
in when I had a bad job. Audio. That's what I'm working at. I'm not.
There's a video after their dominant win that they had where he pans over, teammate pans over, and Zach Edey proclaims, "I have a boner."
Oh.
I don't know how to really digest this. I think if Zach Edey was somebody who was funnier and more interesting, I would laugh at this. And I would think this is awesome, but he's such a robot. And the whole Purdue team, they're just so not likable. I don't know why. And maybe it's the way that they play. All their scoring comes from just getting fouled and going to the goddamn free throw line. It is the most unentertaining, uninteresting basketball that has occurred during this tournament.
It sounds like someone from Tennessee today.
The 1-7-4 guy.
You're,
I took a money
a
line.
Fraud hack, the 7-4
loser. Guy just stands there. He stands in the paint. He turns around. And he just kind of light doesn't even jump, just kind of like lightly pops the ball into the hoop, or he gets fouled. It's so stupid and boring.
He gave you 42 and 16 today. You give me 40 points in a tourney game, I don't care how big you are. That's putting on for your team and your city.
All right, good point though. I don't know how to react to him just going, "I have a boner." That is what after everything he accomplished today and this weekend, all he could conjure up was, "I have a boner." That was the words that came out of his mouth.
Yeah, I'd probably be saying that too if I just dropped 40 and 16 in the Elite Eight, thinking about all the clit I'm going to be drowning in when I get back to stupid Lafayette, whatever, where they're at. Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah, yeah. If I'm Zach Edey, I'm sitting here like, yeah, I do have a boner. Who's going to take care of it?
See, that's, I didn't so think it was going to get that. I didn't think it was going to get that graphic. So holy God! A little grace. All right, the story that you want to share with us.
Okay, Joe, you have lived with me. You lived with me for 3 years in college, correct? So we were roommates for 3 years. You say you really get to know somebody in 3 years, right? You get to know what they do, what they don't do.
Sure.
I've been living with one of my roommates. I'll just say one of my roommates. For 3 years, a little over 3 years. You start to learn what chores certain people don't do. Maybe you pick it up and then you do less of a certain chore. We've found a way to keep the ecosystem going very well for all of the different personalities, conflicting interests, everything that goes on in this house currently. Okay. We've kept it afloat. I was pushed to my breaking point this last week, though. I was going out to the garage for some reason. We were getting a ride. We were coming back from dinner. After dinner, I took my shoes off because there was a room. I was instructed, "Hey, you know, wipe your feet. I don't want to get my rug dirty." That's normal. That's natural. That's cool. I'll leave my shoes in the garage. This roommate also keeps his shoes in the garage, right? The next day I come in the house. My shoes are sitting on the front steps for me. He moved them from the garage to the front steps. As if my shoes were taking up a lot of room in the garage. Now, let me make a couple new addendums to the story. I have not seen this roommate do dishes, and I have not seen and this roommate is rather slow with the laundry. I'm not going to, that's about it. So those are kind of two infractions I'd have for him as a roommate.
Okay. Have you confronted him?
No.
Has he addressed this?
No. This is the most passive aggressive move I've ever seen in my life.
What is that's like? This is a Perry Schrader move.
This is a Perry Schrader move, and I couldn't believe it was broken out in front of me in a home we all share together. We're all friends. This on a scale of 1 to 10, how passive aggressive is that? It's a shared garage. Wait.
What was the inebriation level?
What do you mean inebriation level?
Like, okay, how inebriated could this person have potentially had been when they relocated the shoes?
I found them there on a Thursday morning or a Friday morning.
Oh, I don't know why I didn't register the date. So you think that this was a relatively sober, if not fully sober, decision?
I'd say stone cold sober.
Wait, where does everybody typically leave their shoes?
Some people leave their shoes in a little shoe rack downstairs by the front door. This one roommate leaves all of his shoes in the garage and in that shoe rack. And then I leave my shoes in my room. I don't leave them in the living room. If I do, it's because I'm putting them back on when I'm leaving. But I keep my shoes up in my room. There's some stuff I have in the garage.
Uh-huh.
You know, I got like my fishing rod in the garage. I got my cleats in the garage, basketball in the garage. It's a shared garage though, right?
Where did you leave the shoes in relation to the door?
Let me draw you a goddamn picture where I left these shoes.
This is all important. This is all, there's a lot of details.
I know, because I appreciate you because you're at least being fair, asking the questions. Door. I'll show you the image in a moment. Shoe, 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 shoe. And then, all right. This is looking at the garage door going back into the house. This is the door. His shoes, his shoes, his shoes. Sean's shoes put together nicely off to the side.
We think that the decision making and the frustration on his part was because you placed your shoes near his shoes.
I actually made my shoes. Like I you can't make shoes, but like you would make a bed and tidy it up. I wasn't leaving them all. They're massive shoes. So I'm not leaving them
like
upside down or sideways. I set them nice and neat next to each other. Like next time I'm in the garage, I'll grab them. It's the garage. I'll get them.
And they were, okay, this is the last question. These were placed outside on the front step.
Outside in the garage, yes. Not in his
room. When he moved them.
They were placed inside on the front step. Like, oh, when you come back, take these back up to your room with them, with you.
Oh, that's not that passive aggressive.
That's incredibly passive
aggressive. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to be honest with you, man. I'm not siding with you on this.
He's never done that before.
No. Here's my thought process. I think that if generally that is where he keeps his shoes, he might have just saw yours and thought, "Oh, Sean left his shoes out here. I'm going to put them inside." I think this is like a 3, man. Three as in it's got potential to have been passive aggressive, but this is the way that it was described. I thought that it would be a 10 if he took your shoes and took them to the front door and then put them outside. That was what I immediately thought of you described.
But this is a roommate. That
I would have hurled those shoes at his fucking head as quickly as I could if somebody did that to me.
Good enough. This is a roommate that doesn't pick up after himself. He left a pair of New Balance 550s at the bottom of my stairs for 4 months. I didn't move them because they weren't mine. I didn't think he was even noticing them. I didn't think he noticed any of the mess that he made.
But
walking through, I guess within 8 hours, he realized that, oh, these shoes aren't supposed to be there. Let me get them back out of my area, which was the shared garage. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop his laundry halfway through every time. He's not going to have dry clothes. Hey, can you restart the dryer? Yeah, I can restart the dryer. I restarted it. I didn't. They're sopping wet. I can't wait. I'm gonna start.
That sounds stupid because now you're gonna just back up the rest of the laundry.
I don't care. I don't care.
You're an idiot. Sounds like you got a problem with this. You got a problem with this guy that's unrelated to the shoes. Is that what?
No. It was strictly the shoes. I don't have a problem with them. It was.
Sounds like you do.
Why are you moving my shoes for me? I always move my stuff.
How would you power rank your relationship with him compared to the other roommates?
Ugh, he's consistently been 3. It oscillates between, or no, out of the 3, he's like consistently 2. He's not 2 up, he's not 2 down. 1 and 3 are always shifting.
Okay, which makes sense because usually your closest friends are going to piss you off a lot
more.
I would argue that the him being in the middle is probably a little bit more of a, I still don't see it though.
They were there for like 8 hours. They wasn't like they were taking a 2-week vacation in the garage. They were there for like 8 hours.
Does he have his own toilet?
No. Well, kind of.
I would go poop in his toilet and then not flush it.
No, don't worry. There's going to be some type of get back. I think either messing with the laundry.
Just start hiding. If you're really upset by this, I would just start hiding things.
I'm not really upset with it. I just want to gaslight him. I just want to kind of just let him think he's going crazy.
Find it. Well, that's what I'm saying. Find a closet that is typically not in your room, just like one that's typically unused, that's got some shit in it, and just if he leaves stuff out, start putting his stuff in the closet, like dish it, anything. Literally, anything.
I like that.
Take food of his out of the refrigerator and start putting it in his closet. If you really want to piss him off and you really want to get back at him. Yeah, the laundry thing's lazy. That's the best you could come up with? No, lame.
You don't know how we all fight with this laundry machine, but he fights with it like nobody else. He's like, my clothes are never dry. I'm going to make them wetter than ever.
I restarted it.
All right. I just want to toe the line between tearing the house apart and that nice little gaslighting zone where I can just really.
I think you'd cause too much friction in the house overall if you slowed up the laundry process. That to me was the biggest frustration of sharing roommates, is not being able to use the laundry machine when I needed to. That was probably the most annoying thing.
Yeah.
Regardless, good enough to wrap us up on.
Thank you.
At Joe DeLeon, at Sanderson Radio. We're in the process of figuring this out. I want to, and this is a big TBD. I was debating doing a Twitter community that has been thrown out because some of our listeners are too inappropriate to participate in a Twitter community. So I think we're going to work towards, in the next couple of months, setting up a Discord server for anyone who is interested in that. Drop a comment or shoot me a DM, shoot Sean a DM, or the Hack City channel, or a Twitter account at Hack City Pod. It's Hack City Pod.
At Hack City Pod on Twitter.
Okay.
That's where all the clips from the show go. If you just tuned in, you want to see a stupid clip, that's where they are. Hack City Pod on Twitter.
Thanks for tuning in. Oh, my God. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We're going to be back later on this week with more. Enjoy the rest of your week.